Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is the sixth study in Hebrews. It will be taken from Hebrews chapter 7. I want to thank you for joining me. Father, we just come before your throne in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Hebrew, Yeshua the Hebrew. And we come and ask that your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, will come and teach us, Lord, that we have an anointing that instructs us in all things, and that you would open up the deep and beautiful picture that is painted from the Old Testament and is revealed in the Torah made flesh in Hebrews for us today. I pray for those who hear these words, that their ears would be anointed and their hearts and a spirit of understanding would be released into them, and they would apprehend the treasures of this wonderful book in Yeshua's holy name. Hebrews chapter 7. This section, the first verse 1 through 10, deals with the King of Righteousness. So now the author is going to get back into Jesus, the prior verses, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Yeshua, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So the King of Righteousness is Melchizedek. So they're going to break open. Who is this Melchizedek? Let's get into what he stands for as it relates to Yeshua the Messiah and why he is a type. He is a type. He's an Old Testament type points to Yeshua. It says he's a sign. A sign points to something, to Yeshua the Messiah. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem — Salem means peace, shalom, Salem — priest of the Most High God. Okay, so this Melchizedek is the king of peace, the city of peace, and he is the priest of the Most High God. So right away we can say, okay, he's the king of peace, or he's the prince of peace, and he's the priest of the Most High God. This is echoes in the prior verse, having become high priest forever. So this is who Melchizedek is. He's king and priest who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. He came out and brought bread and wine to Abraham and blessed him with a blessing in which he said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And this Melchizedek, verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So he ties to Melchizedek. First being translated King of Righteousness. So Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, or Shalom. Salem is the Arabic way of saying it. Shalom is the Hebrew way of saying it, meaning King of Peace. So he's saying, this is who Yeshua is. Abraham even tied to this Melchizedek. He is the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Verse 3, this Melchizedek was, and here we go now, I'm reading, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, isn't this interesting? The author is saying this Melchizedek in Genesis did not have a father or mother. In other words, he was without genealogy. He was eternal. Was this a what we call theophany, which was an appearance of God, Yeshua, before he was birthed? Because God is outside of time. We are in time. The flesh is in time. Yeshua could have appeared in the past as this King of Melchizedek. It's possible. We don't know. They don't say here. They just say that this Melchizedek is eternal. He's without father and without mother and without genealogy. having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So this is eternal. The only person I know that's eternal is God. But made like the Son of God. He was made like the Son of God. It doesn't say that he was the Son of God. So it's an open-ended mystery who this King of Melchizedek is. This king remains a priest continually. So here he's defined as a priest of the Most High. He's the King of Salem, Melchizedek. So it's still a mystery who this Melchizedek is that met Abraham with bread and wine. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was to whom, now it says here he was a man. So he is a man. Okay, how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Now let me just clarify something. I went and looked it up. It says that how great this man was is the King James, but I felt prompted to go to my interlinear Bible where they have the Greek translation and it does not say man. It says, behold how great this one was. So it doesn't say whether he's a man by the flesh to whom even the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. So that's very interesting. So he was made like the Son of God, and he was one to whom even the patriarch gave tithes to. So sometimes you have to look these things up. So this King of Melchizedek could have been, well, one. It's just one. It doesn't say what kind of being he was. But it gives his titles. He's eternal, whoever this being was, and he's like the Son of God, and he is a priest. So it very well could have been a pre-Christ manifestation. In other words, the Lord appeared to Abraham before he was born, just as when the four angels came to tell them, visit them in their tent, and they were on their way to Sodom. One was the son of God, and the other three were angels. I'm sorry, there were actually three men. Two came to Abraham's. They looked like men, and one of them spoke to him, and his name is implies that perhaps he was a god because it's capitalized. And then the two angels are the ones that progress down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. So this is also another appearance of God, Yeshua, actually, before he came on the earth, we think. They call him Theophanes. Anyway, verse 4, now consider how great this man was, or how great this one was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. So here he's talking about the order, the priestly order that God set in place for provision. And the sons of Levi were in Abraham's loins, and yet they were commanded to receive the tithes, okay? But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So verse 6 says, so here the sons of Levi were in Abraham's loins and they received tithes. And so the greater person receives tithes from the lesser. So this guy, Abraham, is tithing this man to the one, to this King of Melchizedek, And the whole Levitical priesthood is still in his bloodline, his seed line. And so the author is trying to show you that this Melchizedek is greater than any other priesthood, priest, in the Levitical tribe that came out of the loins of Abraham. 7. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Okay? So the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. So in other words, they were all paying tithes to King of Melchizedek because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and they were still in his loins. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Verse 11 through 19 deals with the concept of the need for a new priesthood. So this is building on who this King of Righteousness is. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So here he's saying, look, if the Levitical priesthood were necessary, then you wouldn't have to have another priesthood, okay? And so according to the order of Melchizedek, instead of the Aaronic Levitical order. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of law. So the people receive the law under the Levitical priesthood, and if it were perfect, there wouldn't be the need for another priesthood. But guess what? The priesthood has changed. It was not perfect. And because the priesthood changed, which the law was given, the old one, then there's also a change of the law. So here we're going to have this change. Verse 13. So let me say this again, okay? The Levitical priesthood was imperfect, and the people received the law under the Levitical priesthood. It has changed when a priest after the order of Melchizedek came. And this order of Melchizedek was a higher order than the Levitical priesthood, because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and he is a greater priesthood. So all the Levites tithed to Melchizedek in Abraham's loins and acknowledge this is the greater priesthood. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe. Now he is referring to its capital. It implies God. And in the Greek also, it's one, capital O. It's applying to divinity. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. So here he's saying this Melchizedek is of another tribe, that this new priesthood, after this order of Melchizedek, has been instituted. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Okay, so he didn't come from the Levite, tribe of Levi, Jesus, Yeshua, he came from Judah. 15, and it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. So here we go, if someone comes after the order of Melchizedek, this is another priest, verse 16, who has come, not according to the law of a fleshy commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. So here he makes a distinction between the Levitical, Abrahamic priesthood put through by the law of Moses, and here's another one, that's the laws and commandments of the flesh. But here this other, our Lord, who is from Judah, after the order of Melchizedek, has the power of an endless life. He's from eternity. He's God. It's a higher priesthood. It is the priesthood of the Lord, the Creator. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And this verse is found in Psalm 110:4, as we referred to a couple lessons back. Verse 18, for on one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Okay, so here it says, okay, so this is a higher order. This is an eternal order. This is an eternal priesthood from God Most High, and it's doing away with the priesthood of man, the Aaronic, the Levitical priesthood, because this Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek, is an eternal order. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So here's saying the law did not perfect us. The working of the law and receiving the law was imperfect. It did not make us perfect. All it did was show us where we were not perfect. And it's still that way today. The law is just there as a taskmaster to bring us to righteousness. And that righteousness is the King of Righteousness, the Melchizedek. Means King of Righteousness. So that's our hope. It's that law is gone away. It's imperfect. It's weak. It's unprofitable. Okay? It just illustrates our condition and how we've fallen short of who God is and His holiness. So we have a better hope, and we can draw near to God through that better hope. The next section will deal with the greatness of this new priest, his exalted state. Verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, this means Yeshua from the tribe of Judah of the order of Melchizedek. Verse 21, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So these priests, the Levitical priesthood, the law, became priests without an oath. But he, the Lord, swore by an oath. The Lord has sworn by himself that he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22, by so much more, Yeshua, Jesus, has become a surety of a better covenant. And that a surety is a legal term. It's like a deposit. It's like the guarantee. It's a guarantor. Jesus is the guarantee. He is the guarantee of this better covenant. This is a greater revelation of the covenant, the entirety of the covenant that Yeshua brought to the earth when he came on this earth and fulfilled this high priestly calling and king calling. Also, there were many priests because they were And also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Okay, so here he's saying, you know, all these other priests, they died, so they had to get more priests. So there were lots of priests. Verse 24, but he, that is Yeshua, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. His priesthood doesn't change. It's there forever. It's established and it's eternal. It's a higher priesthood. It's a perfected priesthood. It's the high. He is the high priest after the order of the King of Salem, Melchizedek. Verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. Verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. But I went back to the original Greek, and where it was transliterated in the interlinear translation, it says he, because of but because of him, there he has the priestly office is not passed on. And he is able to save to perfection. He is able to save to perfection those who come to God through him, ever living to intercede for them. And I thought, wow. See, he's passed the priesthood not because he's not passing or changing, because his priesthood continues forever. And he's able to save to perfection. And I like that because we started up in verse 11 talking about perfection wasn't attained by the Levitical priesthood, but by Yeshua's priesthood, he's able to perfect us and to save us. Those who come to God through him, because he's always praying. He's living to intercede for us. He is our priestly advocate. He's our high priest. He's our high intercessor. He is the intercessor of intercessors. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us. Here's this high priest. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So here it says, this is who this high priest was, is, still is. Holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And now he has become higher than the heavens. Well, that's God. There isn't any human being that could do that. Because that's why the Levitical priesthood and all those rites and all those ceremonies, they could never perfect us because they were sinners. And he who does not need daily as those high priests to offer sacrifices. See, Yeshua doesn't have to offer up daily sacrifices, first for his own sins. Why? Because Jesus didn't have any sins. He was perfect. It says right here, he was holy, harmless, separated from sinless. He was perfect, undefiled. So the regular priest, the Levitical priesthood, had to offer up sacrifices for their own sin and then for the people's. But Jesus, he did once. He offered up a sacrifice for sin once for all when he offered up himself. That was it. He only had to offer up himself once because he was the perfect offering. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. So here, this is why this oath is important, because God is swearing by himself, and he cannot lie. That's what we heard about in the prior lesson. And so he was establishing the fact that this was the priesthood that the Father was establishing and instituting, and he was validating it. He is the surety of the covenant. And it's a perfect priesthood. And it's been perfected forever. There's a once and all for all sacrifice, and there is no other way to God. Yeshua HaMashiach is the only way. There's only one way to come to the Father. There's only one offering and one sacrifice. There's no more the Levitical sacrifice. There are no more the temple sacrifices. There are no more slaughtering of lambs, bulls, goats, and rams, offerings of flour, all of that. Because all of those, the Moses priesthood that was instituted through the tabernacle of Moses, all of that was completed in Yeshua. Now, do we go back sometimes and keep them, and do we look at them? What is this higher covenant? What is this higher law? We do, but not in the sense that it can save us from sins. That's repenting from dead works. Keeping those ordinances cannot save us and cannot redeem us from our sins. What it can do is it can give us a deeper understanding of the perfected priesthood of Yeshua that's operating now. It can give us the pattern of what is going on in heaven. See, this is continued in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Mercy Seat, is where Yeshua is now. And the blood was put on that, and it was given to us so that we might go into the Shekinah, the veil of his presence. We enter behind the presence, the veil, the presence behind the veil. We can enter in through Yeshua, our Savior. So let's summarize Hebrews chapter 7. Here is established several points. One is which that this King of Righteousness is who this Melchizedek, he is the King of Righteousness, and he was a greater personage than Abraham or any of the Levitical priesthood, because Abraham tithed to him. And then there's an, because of this new priesthood, the next section of thought was that God instituted this new priesthood that's after the order of this Melchizedek, this king of righteousness, which is higher, which is perfected priesthood. That the Levitical priesthood, which received the law, was imperfect. And it was just a sign. It was just pointing to the need for atonement for sins, the need to come to God and sacrifice ourselves and release our sins over to Him. And then it goes into the greatness of who this new priest is. That in Psalm 110, the Lord made an oath, and He couldn't lie, and He couldn't repent over this oath, that Yeshua is the priesthood, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and He is the king of righteousness. That is who, that is what this established, His, the identity of Yeshua. As the Torah is opened up, the Word made flesh, and that He is an eternal priesthood. And so the old priesthood has passed away because it was imperfect. And we can't get to God through doing rituals and sacrifices and temple ordinances. We have to come to God because He's given us the sacrifice for our sins. The once and for all sacrifice, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. He did it once. That's all He had to do it for, because He was perfect and it was perfectly acceptable. And because this is what God instituted. This is what He fulfilled. So today, if you hear this and you don't know that Yeshua is the only way, you need to come to Him on His terms, on that very narrow path. And you need to set aside any other ways that you might think you can come to God. We cannot, we have to repent from dead works. We cannot work our way to God, because God has made the provision for us. He is the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect lamb that was sacrificed to make atonement for our sins. And He is from eternity. That's what this establishes. Now, there's no one from eternity but God. So He was the Son of God. He was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins. And if you hear these words, ask God to reveal the truth. Come to Him today and repent for your sins and turn away. And ask Yeshua to come in by the blood of the Lamb of God and cleanse you and wash you and fill you and touch you and breathe eternal life in you in His holy name. Thank you. Be blessed. And if you did this, if anyone hears this and makes this commitment, I would love to hear from you and pray for you. And you can contact me through my website. God bless you. God touch you. God make His face shine upon you. He is the light of the world. Let Him bring light into the darkness of your life. And our holy child, Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. This has been produced by KD Pearl Ministries, www.kdpirlministries.org. You are welcome to copy these, to share these with others. Please keep the teaching in context of the entire teaching to maintain its integrity. God bless you and goodbye.